Rashi explains that the Para Aduma, the red heifer, which was used for the purpose of providing the opportunity to people who had become defiled by coming in contact with a corpse in a various number of ways, to provide them the opportunity to become purified from that ritual impurity, which of course enables them once again to be able to enter the temple, the areas around the temple. Interestingly enough, Rashi explains on a deeper level that this mitzvah of the Para Aduma, the red heifer, serves as an atonement for the grave, grave sin that the Jewish people committed of the golden calf right after they had heard the Almighty speak at Har Sinai. And Rashi explains from various angles how we see parallelisms between one and the other. He even goes so far as to say that let the mother come and clean up the mess that the child made, because a para aduma generally means a full-grown cow, full-grown female cow, whereas an egel is a calf. Sounds cute. Obviously, there must be some deeper connection and meaning and significance to this, though. I would imagine that, as everything in the Torah, many, many things could be said about this to explain what is the depth of connection, of correlation between the Para Aduma, the red heifer, and the Egel Azov, the golden calf, that the former serves as an atonement for the latter. So I'd like to suggest one possible approach. One particular possible approach. When the Jews stood by the foot of Mount Sinai to hear the Almighty speak in person, so to speak, one of the mitzvos that they were given at that time, that God commanded Moshe to tell the people, is the mitzvah of Hagbalah. Setting up a boundary around the mountain, clearly demarcating up until this point, you can approach. Further than this point, you cannot go. Al yehersu la'alos el Hashem. They must not break forward to go up to the Almighty. Rabbeinu Bachaye, one of the major medieval commentators on the Torah, explains this mitzvah more or less in the following way. The moment of the giving of the Torah at Mount Sinai was a moment of ultimate revelation. Of course, obviously. It was the moment when God fully, as it were, revealed himself to his people, to the entire nation of Israel. And that moment, explains Rabbeinu Bachaye, is a moment of such incredibly ecstatic connectivity to the Almighty himself that one could, and it's probably safe to assume that they experienced this at that time, be overcome by an incredibly powerful drive to know the Almighty completely. But, of course, the essential being of the Creator of the universe is beyond all conception. It's beyond all definition. It's beyond all limitation. And therefore, explains Rabbeinu Bachaye, essentially the mitzvah of setting up this boundary that they shouldn't rush up and break forward to go up to the mountain where Moshe was a mitzvah that essentially was conveying the thought, do not attempt to grasp and conceive and conceptualize that which is essentially beyond you. Only Moshe Rabbeinu was able to go up to the top of the mountain and control himself so that he would not fall into such a trap. But everybody else, it could be very dangerous. Now, to understand this a little bit better, it's important to recognize that the way we process information as living, breathing human beings is through our senses. We see something, we hear something, we taste it, we touch it, etc. And how do you understand it? How do you grasp it? Your mind processes the information. It identifies, it defines, it characterizes, it compartmentalizes. It's all a matter of assigning, defining boundaries. You look at a chair, and a chair has this and this type of form versus a table, which has a different type of form. Concepts also, even abstract concepts, are all about assigning appropriate conceptual boundaries and thereby being able to define it. In other words, when you give something its appropriate boundaries, you're able to wrap your mind around it and thereby fully understand and grasp it. Well, God is beyond that. You cannot wrap your mind around God because, as we said, and as it is self-evident, He's beyond all definition, He's beyond all boundaries, He's beyond all limitations. So what happened when they sinned with the golden calf? Rav Yaakov Weinberg explained that it was based on a number of different proofs and angles that it was not a crass, coarse mistake that, oh, this golden statue over here of a calf is God. No, that's not what happened. It was not a violation of the first commandment or utterance of Anochi Hashem Elokecha. It was a violation of the second one. Lo Yelecha Elohim Acherim, included in the prohibition of idolatry, is to not utilize or employ any form of iconic image, icon or image, in the worship of the Almighty. In other words, even if it's the Almighty that you're worshiping, even if it is the Creator of the universe Himself to whom you are praying, and to whom you direct the devotion of your heart, if you use a item, object, image, icon to focus your attention to Him, that is also forbidden. He explained that the Jewish people made a fundamental error in how they were relating to Moshe. They were relating to Moshe as a conduit to Hashem, not only in terms of receiving the wisdom of Torah, they also were mistakenly relating to Moshe as a conduit of worship to the Almighty. And in a sense, Moshe was their middleman, even in terms of worshiping the Almighty, and that's a fundamental error. And that is why when they thought Moshe was dead, they said to Aaron, we need a new God, meaning we need a new icon through which to focus our devotion and worship to the Almighty. And the whole underlying fundamental error of feeling a need for an icon through which to focus one's attention and worship to the Almighty is that need to wrap your mind around something in order to be able to relate to it. It's very difficult. How do you relate to an Almighty Creator of the universe who you cannot see, you cannot hear, you cannot feel, you cannot touch, you cannot taste? Nothing. None of our senses. We can't even conceptualize Him. So yes, it's very understandable that a person could feel a need to have something that he could wrap his mind around in order to be able to relate and connect to this Almighty God. But the Torah forbids that. The Torah says, no, you don't do that. You don't do that because that's going to truncate your relationship with the Almighty. It's ultimately going to block your relationship with the Almighty, and it's even one of the most severe prohibitions in the Torah, Avodah Zarah. It's a part of idolatry. Rather, don't try to understand him, because he's not able to be understood. Only he can understand himself, because he is himself. So what? Don't try to understand with your mind, just feel with your heart. Because when you feel with your heart, you're not identifying. You're not assigning boundaries, you're not assigning limitations, you're just experiencing, you're just feeling. Of course, it takes work. It takes work. It takes conditioning. It takes getting used to it. So I believe, perhaps, that this could be an explanation of why the red heifer, the Para Aduma, is the archetypal atonement for the Egel Azav. Shlomo HaMelech says, Amarti echkama v'rechayke himimeni. I said I will become wise, but I see that it's distant from me. Shlomo HaMelech, King Solomon, was referred to as the Chacham Mikol Adam, the wisest of all men to ever walk planet Earth. And he said, I said that it would be I would become wise, but I see that it is distant from me. Explain the sages, what is he referring to? He's referring to the mitzvah of Para Aduma, the red heifer. Because there are such seemingly self-contradictory aspects to the Para Aduma. Everybody involved in the processing of the Para Aduma, of the red heifer, becomes ritually impure. And yet, the whole reality and power of the end product of the red heifer is the ability to purify. So in a sense, in a very real sense, it's Zos Chukah Satorah. It is the quintessential chok, statute. Chok, explain the sages, is referring to those commandments in the Torah that are essentially beyond our understanding. It's not something that we're able to understand. And the Para Aduma is the quintessence of that. It is that which says there are certain things that are just beyond your comprehension. So that mitzvah, that quintessential chok, a mitzvah which says, yeah, there are certain things that you just won't be able to understand, is the atonement for stumbling in the sin of the golden calf, where the Jews mistakenly tried to grasp and wrap their minds around that, which they're not supposed to. I think in general, this is an important lesson, not only for the specific particulars of avoiding idolatry, which by this point in Jewish history is more or less quite ingrained in our essential psyche, but also in life in general. We go through life, and inevitably, inextricably, built in are many twists, turns, bumps, potholes, and many of them are very unpleasant. Some of them are not necessarily unpleasant, but inexplicable. Others can be tragic. It's very important that throughout life, we maintain an awareness that yes, He's God in heaven, and we're men on earth. And as the prophet says, Lo machshavosai machshavoseichem, my thoughts are not your thoughts. It only makes sense that there will be many, many things that occur that we don't understand, and that we cannot understand. And that's not something which is problematic. On the contrary, recognizing that fact is something that greatly enhances our ability to fully release ourselves from a gripping need of having to understand everything that can actually wind up constricting. It can wind up blocking. Of course, the hallmark of Judaism is study, is probing with the mind, is understanding, is becoming wiser, gaining knowledge, but at the same time, having the awareness and the recognition that of course there will be many things that will be beyond our understanding, beyond our conception. And maintaining, cultivating and maintaining such an awareness is liberating to a very great extent. Because it enables a person to relate to the Almighty in a truly organic manner, in a manner where it's not about that I have to be able to wrap my mind around it. It's about that it is, and I will experience it. Have a wonderful Shabbos.